Welcome to the 12th episode of Redemption. Today, we explore the strategic connection between deposit return systems and reuse. Over the last 50 years, reusable packaging has lost ground to single-use packaging everywhere you look. From that cafe that phased out ceramic mugs, to the diner that brings single-serve jelly and butter packets with your toast, to those red plastic cups at every summer barbecue. Does anyone remember the glass bottle milk delivery? But this isn't about nostalgia, it's about now. Research shows that if we replace single-use packaging with reusables by even 10%, it would stop nearly half of plastic waste from entering the ocean. And when reuse systems align with circular economy principles, we'll see environmental and economic benefits and very real reductions in material extraction, pollution, and waste management costs. So where do deposit return systems fit in? Dead center. In our Guide to Modern Deposit Return Systems, 10 Essential Practices, we show how modern DRS offers consumers a network of accessible, well-distributed collection points that take reusable containers as easily as single-use ones. DRS is an ideal mechanism to help accelerate the transition to refillable beverage containers. Once efficient collection is present, effective reuse systems deploy reverse logistic processes for package recovery, a win-win. To explore how this all works, I talked to three experts in the reuse field. My first guest today is Kirsty Pesci, Executive Director of Just Zero, a nonprofit organization working to advance zero waste. I'd love to hear from you why the concept of reuse, meaning putting beverages back into a reusable or refillable container, is so important to Just Zero.
So first of all, plastic is nasty and we need to stop using plastic whenever we can. So that means we need a refill system. It's better toxicity-wise for the consumer. Glass is infinitely recyclable, so you can recycle it once the glass breaks. But also, it's cleanly refilled. A plastic bottle is going to absorb what's been in it and so potentially be toxic. It interacts with the liquid in a way a glass bottle does not. And having a nice, clean container that can be reused and refilled is a fantastic option, much better financially for the producer when done properly, much better for the climate when done properly. And one thing that I think people lose sight of, and this is crucial, is that without a system, meaning a deposit return system, we cannot manage refill at the scale we need to in this country. If you really want to see your beverages in a glass bottle that's refilled over and over again, you need a robust deposit return system. As outlined in the 10 essential practices for a modern deposit return system, we need to put that in place and then expand the requirements of the system over time so that we're refilling glass bottles and that we're creating those great local jobs, nice, clean, delicious beverages out of glass. I think that deposit return systems can be a jumping off point. That kind of refill that we're talking about can be a jumping off point for all of our foodware and our food packaging. We saw in Germany that they have glass yogurt containers that are part of a deposit return system. You return your glass yogurt container. How nice to have your yogurt in a glass jar. That yogurt is amazing. That's what you want. So I think that there is just amazing potential if we can set up a good, strong deposit return system, move to refill, and then, Bob's your uncle. Why not have all our other packaging done that way too?
To me, it sounds like a home run. And yet, you don't have to speak about reuse very much without hearing someone argue back, oh, that's outdated. That's not convenient. That's not how Americans like to consume. So what would you say to that for those who either don't understand reuse or perhaps see it as not an advancement?
Well, I would say two things. One, when we're talking about these issues, we need to make sure that we're not setting up a system that's classist, right? So when I think about reuse, one of the crucial elements, and this is true for food security, this is true in avoiding fast fashion, whenever we're talking about changing systems, we need to make sure that the system is just. So on the one hand, I want to make sure that we don't only have refillables, reusables for wealthy folks, right? That's one thing. However, what you find out very quickly when you're looking at these systems is that they actually can be really cost effective if they're set up intelligently from the beginning, right? So we want to make sure that there are, that the design is in place. And again, this is stuff that is reflected in the 10 essential practices, that you want to make sure that the system is designed so it's local, which means good local jobs. We want to make sure that it's local so that it also is not having as much of a climate burden as it would if we're shipping beverages from California to Massachusetts, right? We got to avoid that nonsense. And also to make sure that the way the system is set up and the way that the materials are collected is convenient not only for the user, but also does mean that there's a cost savings for the producer. That is all very real and possible if the system is set up intelligently. But lastly, I don't really think that an individual on the street wants to have their, whether it's yogurt or soda or coffee, in a plastic lined or plastic container. I think that's a message that we've heard from the industry, because if they don't sell plastic, they have to shut down all their fracking wells. I mean, it's as simple as that. So I don't really think that this idea that this is what people want, so we gave it to them. Nobody asked for single stream recycling. Nobody asked for all their beverages to be in plastic. That's something that they're doing because we're subsidizing oil and gas and they need to find some place to sell it. Simple as that.
DRS and reuse isn't just theoretical. It's happening on the ground. My colleague Alexei Eisenberg is ReLoop's director for France and Francophonie. Tell our listeners how a deposit return system helps in transitioning to reusable beverage containers and, in the case of parts of Canada like Quebec, maintaining the use of reusable beverage containers. What's the link?
Between refillable and single-use containers, it's hard to have reuse system without DRS for single use. That's what we see in different countries, Germany or even in Canada, because it's hard for reuse container, for refillable containers, to be competitive with single use if the gesture of return is not there. If in case you have refillable containers where you pay a deposit and you have to come back to redeem, versus a single use container, plastic or cans, where there is no deposit, actually you just have to put it in a bin. So this is uncompetitive to not have both of them. And actually, when you have a DRS in place on single use, it's less risky for producers to transfer to reuse, because the consumers is already in the habit to have beverages under deposit, to come back and redeem. He's familiar with RVM, or if it's manually, it's integrated in their behavior. So pushing on reuse, in my perspective, doesn't work if you take it as a global solution for producers, for retailers, and for the consumers. Because at the end, it's the consumers who will choose if they buy or not a product, which is unredeemed or not.
So why then is the recovery rate for containers so critical to increase reuse? What's the relationship between high redemption and a robust reuse market?
So for the reuse, you have three key parameters. The first one is to have a high collection rate. And by high collection rate, I mean more than 80% collection rate for sure. Why? Because if you don't have high collection rates, you can't do all the rotation and maximize the rotation. And you have the environmental and the economic benefits in this rotations. So it's really important to have high collection rates, to have the second parameters, which is rotation. And to have high collection rates, you absolutely need to have the good amount of deposit, so the value of the deposit. And the second one is to have a network when it's as easy to buy than to unredeem. So that's why the return to retail is also a key parameter, to stay in the habits on where you're buying and redeeming. So that's the two key parameters, collection rate and rotation. And the third one is distance. It's really important in reuse to consider that it's fully circular. And you absolutely need to integrate the distance between where you fill the beverages versus where it ends with the consumer. So all these networks to understand where you can wash and refill, etc. So the distance is also a key parameter to have efficiency, and especially in Canada or in US, where the distance are pretty big versus in Europe, it's important to think about interoperability. So if I'm a producer from Texas and I'm selling my stuff in Alabama, it's important to have interoperability and have washing centers in both states and being able to wash and maybe working on standards and be able to offer the same bottle for local area, but also to send to other area, which is in the interoperability between states, provinces. So that provides the economics behind the reuse.
You've lived for a number of years in Canada. So my guess is at some point you participated in the refillable beverage market. And what was your experience like? We hear in the U.S. that the consumer would be so inconvenienced having to purchase and then return a refillable bottle. And we don't get the sense that that is the experience in Canada.
My experience in Canada about reuse and refill bottles is, first of all, it's about what's the market has to offer. If the market is offering to consumers refillable glass containers for the beer you like, you will buy it, actually. You don't buy or don't buy because it's with a deposit.
The price and the preference would guide your decision, not the packaging.
Exactly. You choose a product before choosing how the packaging will be managed at the end of its life. Producers and retailers kind of engagement to offer this product to the consumers, first of all. That's why sometimes you need regulation on that. From governments to push reuse for environmental reason. Yeah, that's the first step. But I never saw an issue as consumers to go to refillable bottles. Actually, it's the glass bottles. The issue is more for, I will say, retailers, because reuse takes space to manage it. And if you manage it manually in front of the consumers and you manage different bottles or mini standards in back stores, it takes place. So it's really important to have the logistic and the good frequency to collect and the good agreement with producers to be sure that the service is provided to the retailers. Because when it's not provided, retailers don't want to have to manage all these refillable bottles in their stores, which we absolutely understand. So it's this agreement between producers and retailers on what they're pushing on the market and how they provide the good services to retailers to collect it.
What I've heard is that a Canadian consumer almost wouldn't be able to distinguish between a single-use beverage container and a refillable one in the supermarket. And of course, they have an obligation to bring it back either way.
Yeah, and actually, when you ask consumers, and we did some surveys when I work in Quebec, and people they know that it's there is a deposit on these bottles, so they just want to get back their deposit, and for them they did the good environmental behavior.
Excellent. Well, it's always good when the best environmental behavior is just also aligned with personal financial motivations. But reuse doesn't depend only on the consumer. It's about having a system in place to keep those beverage containers moving along in a closed loop. I spoke to Henrietta Schneider, CEO of a consultancy in Germany that supports stakeholder groups in setting up, optimizing, and ultimately scaling effective systems for packaging. I mean, you have more expertise than perhaps anybody in effective reuse systems. Help our listeners understand how deposit return systems help in the introduction and scaling of reusable beverage containers.
In Germany, we have a return rate of 98%, and that applies to single-use containers as well as to reusable containers. For reusable containers, it's really, really important to get as many bottles back as possible. And that is because in a reuse system that is efficient and sustainable, they need to be able to do many, many rotations. That means they need to be able to be refilled as many times as possible. And if you want, for example, 10 to 15 rotations, you should really get beyond 90% collection rate also for reusable bottles.
Thanks to all our listeners who are so committed to learning about modern deposit return systems and the environmental and economic benefits they bring to our communities. In this 12th episode of Redemption, Kirsty Pecci of Just Zero made a compelling case for moving from plastic to refillables, while Alexi Eisenberg at ReLoop showed how new DRS legislation in Quebec is beginning to make that transition by increasing the collection rate for beverage containers. And Henrietta Schneider in Germany helped us understand how that country is scaling up the shift to more reusable bottles. Thank you for joining us at the Redemption Podcast. In future episodes, we will continue to explore other critical aspects of DRS, including the critical role of material recovery facilities, MRFs for short, and extended producer responsibility, or EPR. We love our acronyms. Stay tuned to learn what's behind them. In the meantime, don't forget to visit bottlebillreimagined.org to download the guide to modern deposit return systems or subscribe to our newsletter, Bottle Bill Common Ground. You can also leave a review on Redemption wherever you listen to your podcasts. And remember, working together from a common ground of knowledge about what makes a modern deposit return system work, we can move good bottle bills forward.